The introduction to the Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever is instantly recognizable. Those aren't flutes, but tapes of flutes, controlled by a quirky keyboard instrument called the mellotron. It was popular in the 1960s and has remained a favorite among some musicians. Now, the mellotron is stepping back into the spotlight with an album all its own and a full documentary premiering this Friday, as Allison McCabe reports.
The mellotron debuted in 1963.
No, you weren't listening to an orchestra, but one person sitting at the keyboard of this truly wonderful instrument of the 60s, the mellotron.
It looked a lot like an organ with two keyboards, but the mellotrons were side by side. The keys on the left gave you rhythms and backing tracks, while keys on the right called up woodwinds, strings, and other instruments.
Sounds like a real mandolin, doesn't it?
Music producer Tony Visconti is a fan. He's worked with artists including David Bowie, Paul McCartney, and Angelique Kidjo.
The people who invented it wanted this to be for home use only, so they didn't care too much about high fidelity. The fidelity was so low, you had this wobble in the sound.
But musicians soon figured out how to turn these quirks into art.
It sounds like the Beatles did some trickery to it, but it was the crappy mellotron flutes. All you had to do was just hold your fingers down on three notes, and each of those notes had a different wobble to them. So it's... There was no controlling that, but you used it, you know, like...
The Beatles used it in Strawberry Fields, and the Moody Blues used it in several songs, including Tuesday Afternoon. But Visconti says the mellotron wasn't really built for the road.
The Moody Blues had maybe four mellotrons that they went on the road with, and at least two were in constant maintenance nightly.
Today, Allison Stout knows all about that constant maintenance. She restores old mellotrons at her Philadelphia-based workshop, Belltone Synthworks. She says the mellotron isn't like the mass-produced synthesizers she's used to working with.
Everything is made in a factory where they've made it 1,000 times and it's all maximized for efficiency, but this was just a small company making a niche product with limited resources.
Stout says keys often stick. The tapes inside stretch and wear out, leaving behind pops and dropouts.
It's all just kind of rickety.
Even though British manufacturer Streatley Electronics stopped making the mellotron in the mid-1980s, it remained popular, popping up in the 1990s in music by Oasis, Radiohead, and Blur. Today, several companies make semi-digital versions, but for musicians like jazz keyboardist John Medeski, nothing compares to crafting sound by hand on the original machines.
There's a wheel, a spinning wheel, that controls the speed of the tapes, and I started to realize that you can actually touch the wheel and change the speed and affect the sound. It gave me the ability to do stuff like a DJ does. You know, when you touch a record, you slow it down, it changes the pitch. And so I started using the mellotron like that, as an expressive instrument of its own, not just to try to imitate strings or flutes, but create this melody that is not a typical melody. It's much more like, like an alien language.
In addition to using the mellotron on his own records, Medeski's collaborated with Pat Sansone, Jonathan Kirksey, and Robbie Grant to release a new album featuring all four musicians playing mellotrons in concert. Blithely disregarding the hassles their forebears endured, the quartet plans to take their mellotrons on the road this fall.
It is such an iconic part of so much pop and rock music, but it's also an instrument that is yet to be fully explored what you can do with it, you know, and you can use it as a true medium of expression. You know, there's a lot to it. It's one of the great instruments.
For NPR News, I'm Allison McCabe.